Hello, and welcome to another episode of Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by a couple of people that I think you know are already on the show. It's Keith and Hemda. Spoiler alert.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Nice to meet you again. And of course, we're coming to you from Charlotte, North Carolina, live in front of a studio audience. That's right. Give it up for yourselves. And since it's just me, we can go ahead and get right into it, guys. You know, I don't care how their weeks were. We got our sponsor today. The sponsor is the post office. That's right, guys. It is about time for holiday cards. And if you're people like I'm people, I still send them out physically. I mail them out every year. We do a thing with our fans. It's very fun. And sure, I could go to some website, which I'm not allowed to mention, you know. But if you go to the website, what is that going to get you? You walk around to the convenience of your own house and then you use your own printer and then you print it out and mail it in your own mailbox and then it just goes out to everybody. Sure, if you hate adventures, but have you ever walked into a place that kind of smelled like old books, you know, and just everyone's kind of got a different psychological problem going on in line and you don't know what it is. It's just Russian roulette and maybe the person will pay attention to you behind the counter and maybe they won't, but then it's never like you're ready and you want to be like next in line. You want to be ready so they have a good day, but you can never get the timer right because they don't make eye contact and they just go, next. And it's already too late. You fucked up and missed your moment, even though you don't remember there being a moment to miss. I love that about the post office. You know, I love the feeling of just feeling like anxiety. About like mailing my stuff.
Even the color scheme. It's a white you don't see anywhere else.
Nowhere else. No. It's like off dingy white and then, you know, this police blue, you know, that lets you know there's like an authority, but not really an authority going on.
You're so right about the line. I am so nervous online. When I'm next and I see that all the windows are open, I do not move. I hardly breathe. I'm standing there until somebody says, next. And I'm like, thank you for giving me attitude. Your attitude means I need to move now. Thank you.
At the post office, there's only, I didn't say you could come yet. Or, excuse me, you're next. That's it. And you know what? I need that in my life.
Yeah.
Because heartbreak feels good in a place like the post office.
Yeah. You know how like in the military, they go, sir, yes, sir. I go, thank you. Yes, thank you. Like when you're in the post office, it's thank you, what you wanted to say, and then thank you. You're always thanking them for their service. They are always servicing.
Yes.
Rain, sleet, snow, except for about 27 major holidays, they're open.
Every
now, when
year,
it's raining, do they care? No,
every year,
they're dropping off your mail, no matter where it is, no matter how open it is. They said they're delivering in rain. Here's your mail in the rain. Enjoy.
Every year, I have to get stamps to mail everybody, you know, like 100 stamps. And I go, hey, I like to buy some stamps. And you know what they say? What kind of stamps? And you know what I realized? I don't fucking know because it's different every year. And I do want something festive. So now we got to go through this thing again. And it's just like my holiday tradition. You know, at this point, it's like that one uncle you wish would stop coming to Thanksgiving, but they keep coming. So now you kind of look forward to the Cowboys losing. You know, that's what it is at the post office. And I can't wait to go back. And you guys should go to support your local post office by walking in there. Just go postal.
If I may.
Well.
That's the logo, guys. Go postal. Yay.
If you do work in the post office and somebody comes in and says, hey, I need stamps, just say the Tweety Bird kind, right? And keep going. I mean, they don't know. It's the, oh, you're looking for the tweet. What else? Oh, the Smurfs one. I don't know.
It's so sad.
The Love Is Love one. Say no to me. Say no.
It's so sad that I look forward to it because there is new stamps every year. And I hate talking to people in public, but it's just, I want to give our fans the cool new stamp, and I'm going to have this terrible conversation every year of them being like, pick a stamp, and me going, what are my choices? And them being like, oh, you need to see the choices to know? Like, I don't work here.
I like it because also I have seen at least one person, I don't know how many times, but I've seen a person go, you don't have these kinds of stamps? Their whole world was just rocked. And now we're all standing way longer online because now they need to, I mean, if this wasn't available, then now I have to reconfigure my brain to know how to move forward. So you're all here. You're all here with me. Let's go. Yeah. And they don't give them a piece of paper that shows it. No, no. They will verbally list it and have you memorize it as we go. When something screams out at you, you either jot it down or we're playing the memory game. Either way, we're having a great time. Just sit back. You know, I think a lot of companies are really lucky that we have entertainment in our hand now. People are so much better in line now. They're like, oh, I get to finish this 1 minute video where before I wouldn't have noticed it's just 1 minute. And I would have been like, I'm standing here for 10 minutes. And now we're having an argument about what 10 minutes is when really that thing shows it.
Honestly, when I get up to the line, I'm like, we both paused our TikToks to do this transaction. Okay, so let's go ahead and look through all the stamps. Give me the book. And you know what's funny? I would complain, but it's always worth it. There's always a stamp that I'm like, y'all got Beyonce stamps? All right. Yeah, let me get 100 Beyonce stamps. Fuck, you got me. But yeah. Well, shout out to the post office. Go postal, everybody. And of course, speaking of going postal, minimum wage. That's right. Minimum wage. Let's go to a old like, one.
It's like a post office with burgers. Minimum rage. Would you like fries with your stamps? Minimum rage.
Man, if they had a like a post office Hardee's hybrid, oh my God.
But everybody would be dead. Right? That's it's dangerous.
These places use the same glass.
Yeah. That's what we need. Restaurants just take over post offices. Surveillance video filmed a Florida fast food customer's violent temper tantrum over a refund on his meal. The Lee County Sheriff's Office recently shared a video of a shirtless Luis Fernando Hernandez Larraga.
None of my business.
Going wild inside. play guess the race among yourselves. going wild inside of a McDonald's on Thursday. Authorities said the 26-year-old placed an order at a location in Lee County, but he got violent when employees refused to refund him or take his food back. I feel like those should be allowed, you know, either you take, no, he's wrong. If they don't take the refund, they can't take the food back. That's the point. You're tricking me. You give me the food back. Now you're like, you owe me something. Footage shows Larraga getting behind the counter, continuing his demands to get his money back. So he jumped behind the counter. Always a bad sign. Also, now you're on their turf pops.
Right.
they practice. Know where the fryer is. Right.
They practice.
You don't know how to. You don't know how to work the fryers. They right. do.
They do, and not to fry things, to fry your face. So he jumped behind the counter for some reason, and he continued his rant to get his money back. I want my money back, Larraga says as an employee tries to keep him back. He eventually stormed out the restaurant, but not before socking a cashier monitor. The angry customer soon returns with fistfuls of rocks and throws them at the counter, doing this two more times before leaving. The nearby mirror shows an employee trying to brace himself against the rocks.
Whoa. So he keeps coming back with more rocks?
Yeah. He came back with a handful of rocks, and I guess he threw at least three, it sounds.
You guys. Like. If this was a movie, I'd be like, can we try a little bit to write a story, please? This is three times with the rocks now.
Rocks are so biblical, too.
Right.
Like, you took it back, bro.
We have to amp up the story. All right, he gets more rocks.
Bigger rocks? I don't know.
What was this writing room?
Deputies.
It's that close to the holidays? Come on, guys.
Deputies. It was during the writer's strike. So deputies on Facebook decided to punch up the story with this. with this, they put up the video. They put this caption. A Florida man's, in parentheses, unhappy meal came with a side of rocks.
I mean,
sometimes it's what they kind of serve anyway. So you got to read the whole article.
I think they only wrote this story because somebody handed in that title and they said, whatever that is, write it.
Whoever the deputy was that came up with the caption, bravo, social media police officer. He wasn't finished, though. He then swung at an employee and missed. The worker returned a right hook. The McDonald's employees locked the door, and then his rampage ended with him throwing more rocks at the store's window, shattering it. Then he was booked in jail for disorderly intoxication and criminal mischief. And he has a surprise, everybody, criminal history across several states, including Texas and Missouri.
You got to eat a lot, yeah. You don't just eat once.
He seems to travel through the South only. Sorry, buds.
Yeah, hey, listen, we're used to it down here.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, audience member.
Yeah. Oh, man. And you know what? Not the worst kind of rocks in a McDonald's that we've read about on here. So
yeah, some of them are in their heads.
Yeah, we got crack rocks. We got head rocks. We got fucking rocks in the food. It's a thing.
The only thing they don't do is rock.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. All right.
When I go through the drive-thru, I do say, like, I'll take the special wink. Do you know how many times I got drugs? 13, 14? I don't know.
I believe it. Yeah. There's another story I haven't read on here where an entire, basically the entire restaurant staff ended up going to jail because they were running, like, they were stealing money to bail people out of jail from the restaurant. And I was just like, there are levels of crime that are happening. It is so many. I don't even know how. That's a RICO case out of like a McDonald's. That's amazing.
It's like a pyramid scheme, but of criminality.
Right.
Like right. Where the activity is criminal.
It's kind of, and it's kind of inspirational in a way of like in a way of like, man, look at this community coming together to bail out the people that they got locked up for the other shit that happened at the McDonald's. It's amazing. But
yeah, the McDonald's down the road is stealing money for crack. They're stealing money to bail each other out. I mean, kumbaya, my lord.
You know,
hello.
Selling drugs, not the worst thing. We can make a Christmas movie out of these guys.
Oh, my God. Did you see that Eddie Murphy has a Christmas movie coming out? I was in Times Square. The billboard took up literally the whole block. You know who his wife in the movie is? Tracy Ross.
Yeah,
you know,
I love
Blackish
Tracy
Ellis
Ross.
Mom. She's like the greatest fucking human.
You could just say Black, right?
Diana Ross's daughter. She has big old eyes.
Yes.
I love her.
And you know what? Everyone talks about like, oh, look at J-Lo and she's over 50. This woman is like, I don't know, 55, 56, posting bikini shots and workout videos.
All the time.
Like the discipline, the
she's
beautiful.
A walking thirst trap. And she, and like, I also love that she's always like, the secret, I didn't get married and didn't have kids. And I was like,
That's funny.
People get mad at her for saying, I'm like, I don't know. That's her secret. It will seem like it's working.
Or just everything she says, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I like her. I'll probably see that movie. It probably won't even be good. It's a holiday movie, but I'm going to see it.
Exactly. Okay? See, you because it's the holidays, and even though you don't go and see people that you can only see rated G movies with, there's so many people who are like, well, we got to do something with these people we never spend time with, and everything is about killing and murder and sex and whatever. Oh, Eddie Murphy and Diana Ross's daughter with children and green and red. Green and red, you're good. Let's go with grandma.
Can't lose it.
Yeah.
He is so scared to do stand-up again.
You're Eddie. So right. You cannot be wrong.
Honestly, at this point, I get if he doesn't do it.
No,
because like he's done too many good interviews where he's been like, I wouldn't say the shit that like Dave Chappelle is saying. And then the pressure then becomes on him to be like, and hey, you better be funnier than him. It's like, nah, just fuck it, bro. You don't need that.
No, that's none of that is real. No, I do not understand that. I will not understand it. That is something to get over and push through. No, not to be not because of fear. No. I don't accept that.
No, I want him to do it. He says he's going to do it. But I'm just saying, I get it. I get if he doesn't. It's not like a win. There's not a win here. It's more of a like, oh, he was funny. It won't be a like the easy win that all the other old guys are taking is this like these fucking liberal cucks, right? These fucking cancel culture. And then everyone like is divided, but they have like a built in. We're going to support you just because we like pissing off the other people group. And I would like to see someone take the more difficult path of trying to be, you know, like, yeah, I'm older. I'm not against everybody's progress. And I'm actually going to be funny. And I think he could do it. But I get it.
See, if he's that's scared. What it, you get it. But you said, I think he can do it. I think he can do it too. I get being scared. I don't get that being the major thing that I'm going to follow and not do it. That's yeah. it. Just
well, you seems- like to take bike rides for fun, though. Like to go camping and stuff.
I haven't seen stand-up in the longest time, and I just saw a special the other day, and holy fuck.
Who was it?
Does shit suck? I'm not even
going to
fucking
say.
Oh, man. Matt.
Oh, God. I'll guess. Matt Rife?
Yeah.
Was it him? Okay. All right. Yeah, I haven't seen his yet. I've been watching a little bit more stand-up than normal on Netflix, but only probably like 3 or 4 specials in the last month or so. I don't know. Sorry.
Right. My point is, even if I, you know, I have a theory that Eddie Murphy had writers, and so he can't do it again without these writers. He can't have writers. The word would get out, and he'd be embarrassed by it, which he shouldn't be. Stand up sucks. I forget my point. Stand up is dumb.
Do you think then. It has something to do with how much of it has been like it's now so mass marketed, and by which I mean like Netflix just buys up 40 people specials as opposed to like we used to have a, and I'm not saying it was better, but we used to have a filter of like you get someone got an HBO special that only happens 4 times a year, and whoever makes the gatekeeping decisions over there has decided that it's got to be a person with these checks on their resume. And I think now it's almost more like content. Like we need to buy up all the content in this quarter. Let's go buy all the stand-up specials, put them on Netflix.
Maybe. Well, it might be also by followers, you know?
Yeah, it's by followers, and you know, I don't have to watch it all, but Jesus Christ, it's making a lot of good things look bad.
Wow.
Is it hard for you as people that interview stand-ups, these stand-ups could be on your show one day, so you can't really be like, yeah, I was watching so-and-so stand up. It's fucking sucked.
We've had guests where their stand up sucks. I don't know if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't want to like bring them on to tell them. You know?
I don't tell
like,
them, I mean, and we'll talk about something else, but it's like, and you have a special. I'm not going to say anything about it. Congrats. Still feels good, right?
I'll let you talk about the process now.
Right.
I don't normally, so it's an interesting question from me, Keith Malley.
I mean, you hear when I like somebody's stand up, I have an orgasm.
Yeah. I mean, no, you'll tell us the whole special.
Yeah. Listen to what's out there. Something good. I'll do it right now.
Okay. All right. I watched Shane Gillis's Beautiful Dogs, and I expected not to like it, and I ended up liking it. So I don't know. I feel like stand-up is like Will Ferrell movies now, by which I mean everybody thinks Will Ferrell has made funny movies. Nobody has the same list. No one.
I see.
So I bring up, if I'm like, oh, Elf, and you're like, fuck Elf? No, that's the one that sucks. You're thinking about Step Brothers. I'm like, fucking Step Brothers? Nah, that was some bullshit. Talladega Nights, my dude. I feel like that's where stand-up is now, because even my comedian friends, if I watch a stand-up special and I like it or something, I feel like I have to tell them, like, so what do you think about Shane Gillis' stand-up? I don't want no problems. I want no problems. If you hate it, I hate it too. Okay, you liked it? Okay, I can admit I liked it. Thought it was funnier than it should have been.
With that said, my new album, Nice Try, Tricksters, will be out soon.
Yes, show us how it's done.
Yours is really good.
It better be after all this shit.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Talk a lot of shit. Okay.
It is. And like, even as you were saying, stand-up sucks, I didn't feel nervousness, which I think I would, and I would still like maybe put on a face, but no nervousness. You could talk shit. You could say it. This album, when it comes out, it'll stand up to stand up.
I can't wait. Yeah. Right. I'm gonna be there first day. Episode 3743, The Marvels.
Yes.
Keith had a great weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We love to hear it. I'm sure we'll hear about his new weekend on the next episode that y'all do live. But anytime we're starting off Monday on a high note, It's only going down from there.
I'll give you a hint about my weekend. Sexual activity. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
you. It feels nice on the penis. Yes, it does. We love to hear it.
I saw a live dance show and I cried the whole time. It was the most amazing show I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, I didn't say there wasn't crying over here.
The New York Times.
Oh, okay.
Gave it a thumbs down. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Let's just
it.
Say both audiences were wet, if you know what I'm saying. Sploosh. Mom's fucking son-in-laws, it might be okay in porn, but not in real life. You know? Let's all calm down, people. Enough.
It's very interesting when you have that dynamic, those two people get together because they're like, wow, we are so next level special that we have to be with each other despite all of this fucked up shit that we'll be doing. It's like we have such a strong connection. We can't help. Oh, look. Oh, fuck. We're already fucking. Ah, shit. Right? That's what it feels like. But what it really is you lazy fucking do nothing. Land on the lap of what your daughter's worked for. You nothing human being where you mistake temporary excitement for long-term happiness. You step on the people that you're supposed to take care of in the name of love, and then you call that bullshit love.
Right.
Goodbye, Felicia. Is that how you say it?
Yep.
And a good day to you, Felicia. Hey, Felicia, enjoy yourself.
Farewell, Mrs. Felicia.
Let's just put it this way. You may go off where Felicia went.
Yeah, it's so interesting too, because like my guess is that whatever they were doing was hot because they weren't supposed to be doing it and nobody knew. I imagine as soon as it's found out, it's like the hot part is over and now you're stuck with trying to act like, no, it was because we're so special and in the relationship. And you're like, no one's that special.
Well, good luck living with a person who's willing to sleep with your family member.
Right.
Good luck being like making a home with each other now. Good luck after you watched each other lie on the phone right in front while you're jerking each other off. Good luck feeling good. Good luck feeling warm in that safe space that you've fucking created for the world. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
And
man,
I do
another.
Want the update on Thanksgiving. Like, that we're involved in their lives, I need that person to write a new article of like, hey, and then this is what happened at Thanksgiving. Here's how Christmas went. Cause I'm in for the ride now. Okay. We got to know about these fucking, step fuckers.
They don't know where the line is. So do they sometimes reach out and be like, what was your brining recipe, by the way? You can't call here anymore. Right. That's fair.
Yeah. Oh, you're still on that. Come on. Love is love. No, that's not what they meant. Come on, they still meant love is love.
Right. There's also the first time that you talked about the professor who considers bestiality. Now, this happens all the time on my notes. I write something on Monday, but it comes up again. And by the time we get to the end of the week, someone has covered this base. And I want to say it was Rojo Perez. But the first note I wrote was, how does he become the professor who does this? Was he hired like this? Or do you just hit tenure and then you just say time to fuck some pets and rip the mask off? Because I can't imagine he was hired as the guy who was like, what if we fucked animals and people that have special needs? Like, no.
I make the kids think. I've met young boys that were pretty intelligent and can make their own choices. I know kids with IQs bigger than adults. I have ideas.
Ethically is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think they keep it a secret.
Yeah. Everyone who writes in with their thoughts. I just put this. Everyone writes in with their thoughts on the shocking Kickstarter news. That's the fans who at the end you read like some of the things they thought about him to leaving.
Right.
Are people still trickling in? Because I think this happens with our podcast. We have so many episodes. People get way behind. They kind of binge, check, pick up whenever they feel like it. And I feel like after him to leave, you'll still get an email or two like, what the fuck?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
It's gonna keep happening.
How do you feel, Henda? It's funny when guests, of course, don't know. And why would they? Because it did just happen. And then, I'll read an email and kind of... kind of talk fast over the sentence goes, and we're going to miss Kemda. And, you know, those in the know get it, those that listen. And then I don't want to, you know, be heavy on the guest. So we just move on. But it's kind of funny.
I like it too. Normally, I don't like the half information version of whatever it is that we're doing live and recording. But this, I think, makes so much sense. I'm like, yeah, you'll miss me. March 7th means nothing. Like, maybe I have another tumor. There's like some of them I think are like, is Hamda dying? Like, they don't know, you know? So it's kind of funny to see, like, did I just hear right? You know, some people ask, some people know I just missed something. Right. And they wait until we're off and they're like, what did you say? You know? Yeah. So that's, I like seeing who does what. It's interesting.
Or they're so professional. Like, I know I'm supposed to know this, so I'm not going to ask. That's the way I would be a guest on somebody else's show. I'm like, well, obviously I'm supposed to know this. So sounds good. Must be about Christmas.
Yeah. Right. You could absolutely get me. If I was on a podcast and they were just pranking people like that, you'd prank me.
Right.
Because I definitely go with whatever you do. I'm just yes ending at that point.
Right.
Yeah, you can't know everything
like,
about
so,
what's happening.
You're going to prison for murder, right? At the end of this episode, I'm like, oh, okay. All right. They must have talked about this. I must have missed it.
Yeah, it's crazy, the system.
Yeah. Yep. Murder, man. Yeah. Speaking of murder, I was murdering last night. I was doing some stand-up. But what is the statute of limitations, Keith, for someone writing in with this is shocking news?
Oh,
at
please,
what point
forever.
You
please,
write back?
I know that I don't get to say forever because I just said I'm not doing forever. Mm-hmm. But please forever. Please like 2 years from now. And we still get that. We still get, because we've been on for like almost 19 years now, we get like, wait, they're broken up? And I'm like, holy shit. Okay.
Right.
Hold on.
Like relationship wise, yeah.
Like, wait.
That's what I want. Y'all bring back a guest from like that you never had back from like 2010. And they're just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
By 2010, we were already with new people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's go all the way back to like 2007. Is that
pretty
right?
Pretty much. Yeah. It's surprising. When you look back, you think like the timeline is different, but we were broken up like now in a timeline of so many years, 5 minutes into the show.
Holy shit. Yeah. This is crazy.
You know what's crazy? Just different comments you see. And I mean, we've gotten, you know, death threats and worse. So what the fuck ever. But it is funny. It's like, wow, Keith can really not keep a romantic host. Like, it doesn't really bother me, but are you a person?
Yeah.
How does what you said make any fucking sense?
That's what I want to see is the statute of limitations. Because I think Keith is a certain type of person that.
Thank you.
If someone writes in, you know, 7 months from now, he's like, well, do you even fucking like the show?
Right.
What do you mean? You just now heard. What was the poll?
The poll was, has a situation in your life dramatically changed within the last 4 months? Bringing up that Kenda's going to leave in 4 months about. Yes or no, 63% say yes.
Which I guess means everybody's life is kind of always kind of changing.
The life changes, yes.
Yeah. Because, like, if you ask that 4 months from now, I feel like this poll percentage should be close to the same, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think so. I think it's mostly time to change. It's mostly time for a change in one aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's also
like a really philosophical question of, like, what do you view as a big change versus little change, you know? Because, like, our show didn't get renewed and I'm back home, but I like this. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm back home in Charlotte. I'm going to Hornets games. If it was back on the schedule, what it was, I'd be in New York right now, probably preparing for season 3 of Game Theory.
Right.
Living in New York. So that's a big change for me, but it kind of feels like not a big change because it was a big change before. And I've been doing this longer than I was doing that. So.
Yeah. I think that is very philosophical because I would say yes. It's a big difference, right? Because
I'd vote. I voted yes in the poll.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because financially, there's a difference. So, you know, your relationship, you're with someone now.
Yeah.
You get to
be with Karen. Well, it's also like if you both work from home, you know how people say like you have office hot? Where they're like, oh, this person, you think this person's hot because you just work at an office with them every day. But like adding office hot to your marriage is dope to me. You know, it's like that's the hot chick in the office. She works there and lives there.
You know what? I don't hear your audience member, but I think they're really pleased with what you just said.
But it's is it weird when you have to say to Karen, like, whoa, whoa, we're going on 9 hours of talking. Let's keep it cool.
We know to keep our distance. And then every once in a while, you just like corner them in like the laundry closet. And that's the sexual harassment part of the office. You know, it's like, oh, man, I hope HR doesn't get a word of this. episode 3744. Don't kill yourself yet with Kenise Mobley. Was she an asshole?
She was not, as a matter of fact. She was not an asshole.
He's such a good guest.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, I keep thinking she's not going to be, like, so open. She just surprises you. You're like, oh, you're going to answer regular. And you're like, oh, okay. Next level answer. Love it.
It sounded like she was late. Was she late?
I forget.
Okay, that's how good a guess she was.
She, her mic check was a little messed up. She had the right equipment, but it wouldn't click into her stuff. So she had the good headphones and the good microphone, but Zoom for some reason wouldn't pick it up.
And then, you know, you're trying to help somebody, but they're kind of embarrassed, so they're trying to move faster. And it's like, no, listen to what I'm saying, but you already unplugged your shit and you can't hear us.
Yes.
But that was happening. Yeah.
That is a type of hell. I think if there's a hell, that's where we're going. Like the podcast hell is where we're going. Like, no, you had the headphones. Just unplug. No, refresh. No, did you turn your computer off? What are you doing?
Oh, I got it. I need a Windows computer. Like, no, you don't. No, just
right.
Relax.
Get off your phone. The phone has nothing to do with this.
We now have to. It's funny. Like this, we used to have a laminated thing when we were in studio. Like, hey, don't do this, don't do that. Now I'm noticing. Like, Keith will for sure say it. If he doesn't, I'll probably say it. We meet people a quarter till the hour, then we go live on the hour. Sometimes their mic check is 2 minutes. So we're like, hey, do your thing. Just come back 2 minutes before. And then we're like, but don't leave the Zoom.
Right.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Because we had a guest go, all right, see you later. And just click out of the Zoom. And you're like, oh my God, what?
Right. Let's run setup again. Life. She's from Charlotte. Mm-hmm. We love to hear that. Okay. People from Charlotte, we're awesome. We're just spreading our influence across the land.
Is there ever pressure? Like, oh, you're from Charlotte and that you came up with that up front? Uh-oh, here we go.
A little, you have yet to have a guest or a fan from Charlotte that I haven't been like, sounds like a cool person.
Nice.
So we're doing good.
She does sound like a cool person, right? Like, I would hook her up with a sibling, you know?
Yes.
She's just level-headed and interesting and funny and like, you know, I'm gonna say regular as like a nice thing, you know?
Yes.
Like nothing has to be, you know, over the top and crazy. It's just like very just clear.
She was
like,
very relatable and at the same time giving. Like it wasn't it was an open book interview type thing that worked out. Lots of suicide talk. And a lot of times, you know, like guests can be turned off or oh, I don't want to say anything bad or, you know, correcting language and stuff. And she was like, no, let's talk about it. And it felt very cool. Although I will say, try Power Wash Simulator. If you're going through a time, guys, before you jump, you'll just spend so much time trying to find that last spec. You'll forget that you wanted to like kill yourself. You'll be wanting to kill yourself the other way. I'm like, oh, fucking kill myself. I don't find this last spec. But it's kept me alive this far. And listen, there's nothing better than knowing like 99% of that pool is done and just hitting that button over and over, hoping the dirt glows. And then when you fucking find it, when you find that last spec, honestly, it's not better than sex, but it's up there. When you find that last spec and it's like completed 100%, it's like, fuck, I could just die.
You ever get a blowjob as your power wash and fake?
Oh man, listen, don't give me ideas. Don't even get me started. I'm afraid of that. That's like trying crack.
I don't know how I'm gonna come back. He's giving someone else ideas. In the room.
Now it's the only way I can play. Now you ruined power wash.
You guys ever think of this idea? You got your nozzle, right?
No soap. Keith was describing intrusive thoughts. That's he was talking about the idea of like jumping or whatever. Yeah. I hate those. But I think everyone has them. That's the poll. Do you have intrusive thoughts? Because I feel like everyone must have these weird moments of like I'll be walking down the street and think, just jump into a fucking street and the car.
But it's curiosity. It's not suicidal, right?
No, I don't want to do it, right. But I think about it.
It's like holding a baby and wanting to punt it.
Yes.
I don't want to. It wasn't on my list of things to do today.
Like, I think if we could reverse time by 5 minutes, a lot of people would do weird shit in reverse time. You know, like, just let me see what it would feel like to fall off this bridge, but I want to land nicely, but I want the whole thing. But I think that's just curiosity. When you're finding ways to kill yourself, not like,
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I would describe what Keith said as intrusive thoughts. And what Kenise was talking about is suicidal thoughts, which are suicidal ideations.
Yeah.
So that's like a different thing of like, you know, oh, this is how I kill myself. And I'm like, nah, it's not that. But I have definitely had the thing he says where it's like you're walking across a bridge. You're like, I could just fucking jump. I wouldn't. I don't want to, but I could.
I don't want to. Crazy. Would they look at my wallet first? Figure, And then next thing you know, you're over the bridge. You're like, all right, that's done.
Is that how it happens? Is you slide from intrusive into suicidal?
like, I wonder what it would be like to have a penis, but I know I'm not trans.
Right. Exactly.
There's, you know, there's curiosities, and then there's this doesn't feel right, or it feels right this way.
Do y'all ever have like those final destination thoughts though? Like sometimes, like y'all know
that's the worst. Like a movie comes out like Final Destination and you make yourself see it. I know what you mean. That's hell.
And you're like, oh my gosh, should I go see Final Destination again? What is this intrusive thought? I want a suicidal ideate. No, I mean like.
What happens again? What is the goal?
In Final Destination, it's these people don't get on a plane. And then since they don't get it, the plane crashes and everyone dies. But somehow, since they didn't get on the plane, they were supposed to. Destiny and fate and death have all combined to be like, it's going to individually kill these people, like different ways.
Because it was your turn to die. Now you must die.
But now water hose strangles you and shit.
Yes. And so I don't know if y'all have these, but I have these final destination thoughts sometimes where it's like, oh man, I'm driving behind a truck and the truck has like logs on them. Like, oh man, I don't want to be the car where the fucking log falls off the truck and then it fucking hits my car. I got to get away from this truck. This fucking truck is going to, it's going to kill me. You know, those thoughts.
Right.
I have the thoughts of moving away from the logs, but not since I moved away from the logs. Now, you know, this other car is going to kill me. No.
Yeah. I don't have that. So it doesn't go that far. And the reason I call it Final Destination is because in the movie, that's how the scenes would go. It's like, it would never be like a guy comes up with a gun and kills you. It's always like, what if you're taking a shower, but also the faucet's leaking, but also you didn't realize that that the clippers in your house that are electronic got unplugged and it might touch the water and electrocute you. Oh, the soap, you could slip on the soap. That's the final where you're like, this could kill me, that could kill me, this could kill me. That's how I feel sometimes. Like if I'm walking down the street and like I'm like, man, what if like a tire just popped off of a truck and just fucking leveled me? That would suck. You know?
I have those. Like if and it doesn't help, like if I kind of slip in the shower, I'm like, I legit could have just died because I don't know what held me up, because you should just keep slipping if you're slipping in the shower, shit like that. I also have the opposite where I accidentally kill someone. So if I'm holding a knife and I need to walk from one part of the kitchen to another, I'm like, I have a knife, I'm holding a knife. And like, I'm very aware of it. It's being protected. It's being held a certain way. And it's like, There's no surprise here. It's like going to take me literally 1 second to go there, but the entire time I need to be aware of it.
Oh my God, get out of my head. Behind you, chef.
Yes.
Get out of my fucking head, man. Oh my God. Yeah. I've done that before. One time I was chopping carrots and I just had the thought of, for just like a split second, I'm like, that's the same amount of pressure it takes to chop off a finger.
Right.
Then all of a sudden I was chopping carrots like this.
All dainty, right?
Yeah.
I remember I was driving somebody, and you know, I don't know direction, so of course I got lost, and They're nervous. They're going to be late to whatever, the airport, whatever. And started getting mad. And I'm like, what if I just crash the fucking car? Mm-hmm. What do we do? It'll change our relationship. That'd be interesting.
Right. Now look at us.
Now look at us.
Because you couldn't have been a little nicer. Now look at it. Now it's all fucked up. What was the poll?
The poll was, do you currently have suicidal ideations? Real thoughts that you think about and you plan. Two people on our forum said yes. Over on Reddit, where people are, you know, more adventurous, let's say, it's 11 yeses, 27 noes.
It's like 33% or something.
That's up there.
Yeah.
I don't know that people think that that's a sign to get help. I think that's just a usual thought, or one of the thoughts that you have or get to have or play with, you know. And I think like that there's a, yeah, you need help.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's not, that's not a bad thing. Like you just, if you're doing that on a regular basis, it's a progressive disease, I feel. So
imagine
pause,
this.
Pause now.
You're hearing the sound of our voice. Imagine this. You could live a life where you're not thinking about that shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that's possible, then it feels like, oh yeah, maybe I should get this worked on. I think when you live with something like if you have anxiety or something, you just get used to living with it. You're like, well, this is what life is. And it's like, no, there's a world where you don't have to be as anxious all the time. Maybe you have to get medicine. Maybe you have to go to therapy. Maybe you have to meditate. Yeah, but
everything
you're
saying right now is not good news. Like there's a world where you don't have to live that way. Might sound boring. It might sound unappeasing for whatever way. What I'm saying is you need help because that's what your brain is telling you.
Yeah. Well, go be bored.
Get some fucking help.
There you go.
Thank you.
And that guy just had sex this weekend, so he knows what he's fucking talking about. Episode 3745. Oh, and I meant to mention for the last episode, title of the stand-up, Don't Kill Yourself Yet. Kenese Mobley.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we found something here, Key.
Yeah.
Even after him leaves, all you got to do, keep an influx of just comedians with specials. Mm-hmm. You'll never have to worry about that long, like, well, what am I going to fucking name it? You don't ever have to do that again.
I think I'm only going to have on guests that have albums.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
It lets me know about them and the title is solved.
And you can get, and you can like put pressure on people. Be like, Mike, you can Sadamanium too, bro. What's going on? I want to have you back, but you're taking your fucking time. episode 3745. Controversial thoughts with Rojo Perez. Was he an asshole?
Nay, Rojo's always easy. I think
he's 100% the same on air as off air.
Yes.
Like 100%. So if he's faking, he's faking the whole time. If he's real, he's real the whole time. We will never know. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's fine because it's fun. He knows what's up.
I loved his energy this episode. He was giving a little Bugs Bunny, but sometimes I think people don't understand what makes.
You're right. He was an asshole. I'm sorry. You're right.
I was waiting for you to say.
Yeah. Not for real, but wash your fucking underwear. Don't wear it every fucking game day. What are you defending, weird freak? Mahomes has lesions on his balls. That's a goddamn fact. I'm Keith Malley. We can take this to court. I guarantee fucking tea that his dick is all twisted up from mold.
Yeah.
What is he doing? It's weird. And why are you saying you're not going to watch The Bear anymore as you defend it?
Right.
And then Shoe Booty, a listener that we love very much, rates on the forums and goes, Keith, you know, and by the way, I'm not making up this tone. I guarantee I'm right. Keith, it's called The Bear because that's what the dead brother nicknamed him. How does that make sense? Why was he having a dream about fighting a bear in the beginning that was never explained? That is not a satisfactory answer. So why are you acting like it is? The point is, Rojo is saying that this show does make sense and it is great. With that said, he will not see season 3. Then what are you arguing about, Rojo? Mm-hmm. Other than that, good guy.
I think I finally understand the feeling that I thought would be confusing for the rest of my life. The more you express why you hate it, the more I am going to get a Hulu subscription and go watch The Bear. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I'm like, I think everything you hate, I like.
Yeah.
And I watched the first season. I didn't watch the second one. And I all this time I thought it was because he had that dream about that fucking bear.
The bear never comes back. The bear never comes back. It's not talked about. Did the brother call him the bear as a nickname? Okay. What did the nickname mean? That's not a fucking answer.
Yeah. Mm.
And Rod, did you see this?
First season.
I saw the first season of it, not the second season. I liked it, but I didn't. I thought people were like, no offense to y'all bear fans, but it felt like a thing where people were telling me something was 10 and I saw it and it was 7. And then I was like, oh, that's a good show still. But I wasn't thinking like, this fucking show, man, it's going to sweep all the awards. I was just like, it reminded me of working in a kitchen. It's intense, it's stressful, and ultimately over nothing, which is how working at a place like that always feels.
Yes, maybe it's because I worked in kitchens, from sandwich shops to what they're trying to do now, fine dining. I don't want to watch. Why would I want to watch that?
It's that feeling of like, I think, and it's not the show's fault, but my life experience, part of my brain is always like, it's not that fucking important. And if I was writing this show, it would probably be boring as fuck to everybody, because I would be like, no, you're not going to fucking yell at me. I don't care that you're getting a divorce. Fuck that shit. That's what my show would be. And everybody'd be like, this is terrible. But instead, the show is like, oh, he's getting a divorce and that's why he's mean to everybody. But it's coming out because he's saying the fries weren't cut right. And now it's a whole episode about the fries, but it's not really about the fries, everyone. And that's why they're going to win all the awards and my show would not.
Sometimes, though, it really feels like it's all about the fries. So what are you doing? That's what feels sometimes to the show. It feels like they're going through, they talk about books a lot in this show. So I think in real life, they're going through like, famous books, you know, restaurant-based, service-based anyway, and you're supposed to get, and they make it like it's a big fucking, it takes 20 minutes for the guy to say, hey, when you rip tape to put on the food, take the time to cut the corners, take the time to cut the edges so it looks nice. I assume as if to say, how you do anything is how you do everything, but speed it the fuck up.
Yeah. Like that B story in one episode where like the one dude's just trying to learn how to make like donuts or something.
Yes.
And there would be people like I watched this after everyone else because
me too.
When people are talking about shit, sometimes I'm like, I'll wait. So I watch it after everyone else. And I just remember people being like, that episode, man, it really touched me, man. The way he was working. I was like, what? That's not even like a story. That's nothing happened there. That was like 5 minutes of nothing just to give that dude something to do. But, you know.
But you're right. When people say things are so good, they say it's a 10, it's a 7. Now it became a 4.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like
for no fucking reason.
Yeah. And I do the opposite where I fight for my balance to be like, don't give in to being angry at those people, right? You like this. It was 7. That's fine. Just because they think it's 10, they're allowed to think it's 10. It was 10 for them. It's not for me. And then I don't talk to those people about it.
I don't talk to them about it. And I'm like, okay, they're enjoying it. They don't think about jumping off bridges. Good for them.
Exactly. Come on. Maybe they think about jump off bridges. Hello. And that's why they need this shit more than me. D Warrior is a
bitch.
Big professor.
Oh, sorry. I didn't see where that was going.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'll do the questions here, okay, Your Honor. Leading the witness. Apparently, D Warrior is a big professor bestiality fan.
Jesus Christ.
Go way back. Gave to the GoFundMe and everything.
How fun that must be to live life like that. Just a button pushing piece of shit.
How you go from Pat Dixon to this?
Right. Ironically, it's all sexual. D Warrior, you're wrong.
What I know of D Warrior is Trump, Pat Dixon, Professor Bestiality. Bro, your resume is like, mix it up every once in a while. Like somebody that's not trash, so it'll fuck me up. So I'll be like, oh, but he's a big fan of Obama. God, I didn't see that coming. That's interesting, D Warrior.
Be like, apples are cool,
right?
Like, just something.
He's like, you know what else? Hitler also has some. I'm down with him. Like, dude, mix it up. Speaking of Hitler, though.
Yeah, seriously.
Kyrie and Kanye. I'm surprised that people haven't come back around on them and been like, you guys are right. The last few weeks.
To hate Juice so much, you think people would forgive Kanye? I think the whole thing is just so confusing.
It's very interesting that no one's asked Kyrie about it, and he does basketball games every night, and there's a press conference every night. But everybody knows you don't ask that motherfucker. Right. You're gonna be sounding like y'all's Twitter feeds. I guess we have to forgive them. Keith's love of Lil Wayne is genuine.
Yes.
And I didn't know this until this episode. I thought you were just fucking around with your Lil Rona character.
You motherfucker.
Apparently, this is real. Vic, you were pulling out some lyrics.
I don't know why I like him so much, but I do think he's a great rapper. I think he's a real great improv rapper. His freestyles. And he feels adorable.
Yeah.
Singing about guns so much. This motherfucker, he seems cute.
And he's so smart, too, with his lyrics. He's not, like, real life smart. Like, don't look up any interview with him. But when he's rapping, he'll say something, and it's a pun on, like, 4 or 5 levels, where you're like, damn, that works that way, and this way, and that way. Like, incredible talent, incredible skill. And I think I may have watched the entire season, the entire run of the show Ballers. Mm-hmm. Because of that opening theme song. I'm pretty sure that show sucked.
Yeah.
But that song every fucking week, I was like, yeah, and we on.
Motherfucker, we on it.
Every fucking week. Like, who else want to fuck with Hollywood? And then the show starts, and then I go all the way down. They're like, oh.
Right.
Oh, they're going to do a show again this week.
They should throw that in every so often. Do-do-do. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if I want to buy this team. Rock, you got CTE, and we on. Oh, okay.
You know we're on top, and only heaven's right above it. We on it.
It is the best.
He did a rock album, and it was horrible. But every so often, he does a rock song that's so fucking good. There's another one, but yeah, he plays rock guitar. He doesn't fuck around.
For me, he can't go wrong because he made the Carter One, and that was like the first time I realized he was like a good rapper. Because before that, he had been like in a group, and he would have like a good verse in the group, but like it's 5-6 people rapping every song. Like it's like, oh, he's cool. But then he did that whole album by himself, and I was like, oh, he's actually good at rap. And that album's so good that I've just given him a pass for the rest of his life on music. So Gen V,
Let It Rock, that's the song I was thinking. Let It Rock is very good.
Yes.
And I'm talking about angels like Samantha, Angela, Tamala. Whatever the fuck he says, and I'm like, God, that's not how you say their names. That's great.
He's amazing. Gen V, the high school problems are annoying as hell. But it's so weird because, like, is that show for high school people? Like, who's it for? Because it's so like over the top, gross and sexual and violent. It's definitely rated. Something like I don't want to say past rated R, but it feels past rated R, if you know what I'm saying. Like the stuff they show on that show. So like, am I supposed to relate to it as an adult that went through high school, or are high school kids now supposed to be watching it like, this is so edgy and different?
I think the latter. I think it, because it's quite clear that the woman that gets tiny is talking about food issues and body dysmorphia. The woman that blood is her power, I think it's as simple as it's supposed to make kids think about cutting yourself or not cutting yourself. I think it's for young adults.
That makes sense.
That's why there's so many feelings in it, and why as an adult I'm like, okay, but the guy's behind you and you have to kill him. So don't worry. Don't worry that Johnny's giving your girl eyes.
And this happens now because since comic book stuff has become mainstream stuff, I think what's happening is that we're all kind of getting tricked because the Boys is for adults. Like it might be juvenile, but it's definitely like grown-ups are supposed to watch this and think about grown-up shit.
Yeah.
And then this is for kind of kids, but you don't know that till you watch it. So you're right. Like three episodes in being like, is this really bad or am I really stupid? Like what, who cares if they go to the fucking dance? And then like, yeah, I quit like three episodes in because I was like, oh, this wasn't for me. Guys, get out of here.
Right. And then they'll put like, I'm like, okay, Keith, you can quit. You don't have to see this, even though you're going to go back to The Boys. So maybe you do have to see it. Then they throw in a character from The Boys that's so fucking clever. And you're like, well, I'm in then. God damn it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to finish it. I'm definitely going to finish. But it was coming out week by week. And I was like, no, we can't wait 7 days to come back and care about will they or won't they use a condom. I'm sorry. I went through that part of my life. God bless all y'all children that's going through it now. I've learned that lesson. I'm literally here to learn, is the corporation, the evil corporation getting taken down? That's all I care about.
Yeah, like the guy that turns into a girl and vice versa. That's obvious. I think it's for young adults. You know, obviously that's transgender shit. Yeah.
But at the same time, if I know going in, I can watch that kind of stuff. Like I have that kind of brain. It doesn't. When I watched Ms. Marvel, I already knew what it was going to be. I was like, yeah, this is a high school show. I know what's up. It's going to be about a bunch of shit I don't care about. That's fine.
Right.
Because it's all going to relate back to some other superhero shit. We were watching, me and Karen watched these shows on the CW. They're really bad. And one of them's called Superman. Oh, the audience agrees. One of them's called Superman and Lois.
Right.
And Superman has a family with two kids. And it is a extremely well-designed family drama masquerading as a superhero show. Like, the superhero show shit is all, all a trick. It's, amen. It's all a trick. And it's like the season we're watching now, Lois Lane has cancer. She's going through chemotherapy. It's about can Superman be a good husband to his wife who's doing this? And will she stop trying to be a reporter long enough to take care of herself? Her kids are scared. One of the kids has superpowers. They don't like that the family doesn't talk to them because the mom's headstrong and the fucking dad is Superman. And there's episodes like, why don't you use your fucking superpowers and save her or use some technology from your fucking ship? And he's like, well, if we do that, we had a decision to make. If we do that shit, then I have to save everybody. And you can't do that. So I can't pick one person to cure their cancer and be like, fuck the rest of the people with cancer. And the kids are crying and shit. And it's really fucking super deep. And then he got to go fight like a space alien, you know, for 15 minutes. Right. And everyone thinks it's a superhero show, but it's really a family drama. So like, if I know that going in, I can love these shows. But if I don't know, don't trick me. I don't like being tricked.
They have to be like, you know, Superman is super flying in the air. You know, Superman is super when he's saving lives. But is Superman Superman? With the dishes? Find out this Tuesday at 7 p.m.
That's so true. It's so true.
Did I say this on one of these 1700 shows we do or to a person in real life? I don't know. But a Superman that hears everything, knows that crime is going on forever, and it's like, ah, there's another rape again. And Lois is like, yeah, but it's dinner. We have a date. Like, yeah, but I hear rape. Like, say that. There's always rape.
Right, you said that, yeah. It's like where the fuck? I like how you, when you said it, you were like, I mean, but do go to dinner. We recognize you need to like have some time off.
Right.
Like we don't want you to going crazy trying to stop every crime, but you know you are doing that when you don't do it,
or you shouldn't have committed to this kind of relationship. Know yourself.
Yeah. Should we get dessert? I'm like, baby, I gotta fucking save.
That's two robberies. Yeah, I love, there was one part in the episode where like, cause she has cancer and he's so concerned, he's always kind of listening for her. And she like he was like in the middle of something and like, she like coughed and like tripped over something and he like flew home immediately. And she's like, stop fucking listening in on me.
That's funny.
Oh, he caught her.
Yeah, like he's like, he caught her. He's like, are you okay? And she's like, go fucking do Superman shit.
You know what?
Be sick.
I'm disappointed he couldn't smell out her cancer before the doctors caught it. He's super.
So, listen, he's such a good, he has such restraint.
When they have sex and then he goes to get water, is it offensive when he takes his time? Like, just what? Why you just walking slow and shit?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes he fixes stuff, like he fixed like an old piano or something on his last episode. And I was like, you're really using the screwdriver at human speed? Like, why not just use super speed and put the whole fucking thing together?
Maybe it's the way washing dishes is calming.
It is, clearly. Yeah, that's what they were going for. But I like this show, though. I like this kind of bullshit in this way, right, as long as I know that's what I'm getting, you know? What was the poll?
The poll was, are you less than honest at self-checkout? And then after I put the poll up, people were pretty clear it's some white privilege I seem to have.
Yeah, I heard it as it came out your mouth.
But yeah, if I have to bloop it three times, it's mine. Are you less than honest at self-checkout? 38% say yes. They are indeed a little less than honest.
I'd like to go to the store with you and then, like, you know, put some stuff in your cart and see how it goes. I wouldn't do it myself, but, you know, I've heard of stories in the past of, like, friends, interracial friend groups where you're like, we take the white people to the store, then the black people come with us. The black people get followed around. White people do the stealing. We meet out front, split the profits. Okay. I like that.
Okay. That's fair.
Never got to go through that phase of adolescence.
That's cool. People are getting smarter, you know, as time goes on.
Yeah. I love that there's self-checkout and people are just fucking stealing from it. That's amazing to me. Never crossed my mind. I get a receipt with everything. Like, literally, like, different times where, like, the cashier tries to give me the, like, you don't need me to, like, print out paper for this. And I'm like, the fuck I don't. And I want a bag, bitch. I'm not dying for this shit. I don't see too many tragic news stories where it's like, it was just a bag of chips.
Yeah. It's always a Snickers bar. It's always the tiniest thing. No.
It's like some bullshit. Like, wait, Trayvon Martin died because of blow pops? How did that happen?
Right.
He didn't get a receipt. And I'm like, yep, that's why you got to get a receipt.
If I'm with somebody else and I steal something, I do a whole skit. Like, that definitely went through, right? You agree?
Yeah.
Yes, it definitely went through. We're adults and I agree too.
Yeah. That's the next level of the skit is they show up dressed as an employee and they're like, it definitely went through, everyone. Nothing to see here. This gentleman has a 3-cent receipt and a buggy full of stuff, and that is correct.
I do remember, like, a checkout really not working. It was a pain in the ass. And I did. I dinged it and everything so that I'd get help. And no one's helping. And then I walk out. And I'm like, what are they gonna, if they stop me? And I go, oh, did I fuck up? This is $6 and 600 pounds of shit. Oh, I don't know. But the world is so dumb. Why can't I be dumb too? I'm sorry. I'm honestly this dumb. I don't know if I think dogs can consent. I'm like a real stupid motherfucker. Sorry. No problem. Of course. I'm happy to pay.
Did you just walk out, though? Did they not catch you?
Yeah, I just walked out. Yeah.
I believe it.
And then the worst case, and, you know, again, maybe it's a race issue also. Fair enough. But you're like, ah, shit, I fucked up. All right, I'll pay. I mean, if you get busted once and you never fucking do it again, but okay, I fucked up.
It's the guy having heart attacks at the restaurant.
Yeah. You know?
It's like, okay, I hit one twice. That's on me, you know? Episode 3746, Autism Heaven with Mike Lawrence. Was he an asshole?
I can't tell. I don't think so, though. No.
He's literally one of my favorite people on the planet. I love him.
Right.
You know? And I was always happy. I first heard of him through Keith and the Girl. So no matter what he does, what he goes through in life, anytime he's back on here, it's like home again. Like, oh yes, he's hanging with the homies. So it's always great to see his name in the show notes.
Is it funny? And you must see this too with people in general, but these people that love superheroes. They have every fucking t-shirt you didn't even know they made. They have the action.
They named their child after
They one. Named a child after one, let's say. Why do they keep acting like they're going to stop watching these movies?
Mike Lawrence
is not going to... The Marvels is what threw you, this new movie. You're never going to stop, ever.
He's having a no new heroes November. And you just have to let him go through that. You know, he'll come back around to it eventually. I think he'll even eventually enjoy the Marvels. He'll be at Disney, is watching on Disney Plus with Logan one day and be like, right. Why the fuck did I hate this? I like all the other shit. You're not really going to quit. So,
right.
A lot of new parents say things. They're tired.
Yeah, he's probably tired. Yeah, I love how he's like, I used to go to the movies all the time, but now I only go to Marvel movies. It feels like an addiction. I'm like, but that sounds like you cut your addiction way down. Like, you used to go to movies all the time. Now you go to 4 a year. Like, shit, you won, buddy.
Right. what do you think about, is Marvel fucking us? Are things too much work? He's right with the Marvels, of course. Quite frankly, you do have to see Ms. Marvel on TV to give a fuck about the family. That's pretty funny. And you have to see, you know, Scarlet Witch to understand the third woman, I think. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Is it too much?
I definitely feel like it's too much for the casuals now. But I was born in the darkness. I grew up in this. Mm-hmm. I trained for this. This is still my dream. Yeah. They could do these movies another 10, 20 years and I'll be going to see each one. So, like, I feel like the wrong person to ask in a way because when you guys get tired, I'm like, oh, a little too weak to follow all the Disney Plus series. Is it work? Is it homework for you? I've read every fucking comic of Ms. Marvel, all 5 versions. I'm good. I was built for this shit. Let's do it again. So,
should the TVs have to say if it's mandatory?
Yes, and I don't know if you know this, but the Echo series that is coming out next year or something is called Marvel Spotlight, and that's supposed to be this new series of Marvel TV shows where you don't have to have known anything that came before it to somehow get it. I have no fucking idea how they're going to do that. I don't even think that's possible, but supposedly, the audience doesn't think it's possible either. Supposedly that's what they're doing. And I think that's more of a trick than watching Miss the Marvels is a trick. It's more of a trick to tell people, oh, just come on in. Don't worry about this. It's all going to be just walk on. You don't need to know shit because everyone's going to have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I love this shit. I'm sorry for that.
Aren't movies able to sort of the first couple, 5 minutes, be the wrap
you'll
of
get
what
it
you
but you're missing
know?
Out like, you'll get it but you're definitely missing out. You don't know this are they Iranian? You don't know this family and their dynamic. You get Middle Eastern parents being overbearing but they want the best for you. You get it, but you do want to have seen the show.
But I see, but, so it's not like you're completely lost, but you're not getting what's intended
Think about this though, for them as a company. It also works this backwards way, which is somehow Hemda walks into the Marvels. She ain't watched none of the other shit. I don't know. She enjoys the Marvels or she enjoys aspects of the Marvels. If you leave there and go, fuck, I want to see the rest of that family. What, that family is the best part. They're only in it 10 minutes. Oh, there's a 6 30-minute long things with the family. And well, fuck, let's just go watch that. And I think that's how the
Simpsons
works now.
Happens. That's how The Simpsons happened. It was just a little sketch in between commercials on the Tracy Ullman show, right?
Yeah.
Look at
I don't know. It's been a while. I think
when there were 3 things on TV, I kept up a little more.
Yeah. When there were 4 channels and they were all free.
when I had to share the TV and so.
Yeah, exactly. You got to find some shit everybody can watch. You
already got your half hour. All right.
My turn. But yeah, I loved all the questions y'all asked about writers' rooms. That stuff is always fascinating to me.
That's him.
Yeah. That was so fun. And all the different scenarios and all that stuff is so real. The alts and that Judd Apatow thing about real alts. Oh, yes. Cause it sucks as a writer too when they ask you for alts. And they are really just asking you to use synonyms for something you already said. And you're like, well, just do the first fucking thing then. It's like, you're making me change like one fucking, it's kind of like if you put sugar on grits. It's kind of like if you put milk on, it's like, no, man, just fucking go with the first one. Now it's always the funniest one anyway. But I do love a real off where you take a joke completely somewhere else. Oh, I used to love when I get one of those off.
Right.
And it's rarely successful because you're asking like every other person that's reading a joke to reframe their thinking around a joke. And some people will just completely not get it because they're just like, but we were just looking for synonyms. And then some people will get it, but then you got to fight the whole room to get everyone on your page of like, no, this is fucking funny because it goes the other way. And then, it's a thing.
Isn't it? It reminds me of the improv game, Ding. Do you remember that? That's how we got the bell in the studio to begin with. You're saying things, but then the ref dings the bell and you have to change what you just said to be completely different. And then every time the bell rings, you have to change your last thought and keep telling a story.
That's the best. That's the stuff that I like about the writer's room. Cause then the other thing is like the people that really like that stuff are your other writers. So sometimes you're just making all for them where they're like, nah, man, they should have did that. And I'm like, we knew they weren't going to, but like, I had to say it, right? It was fucking crazy. That's the best. And then, another thing that used to happen to me, and it was probably cause I was a rookie, you know, and these other people been in the game so long. So you got to respect, you know, the hierarchy.
Right.
But sometimes I would get to a joke way before everybody else. And then I got to wait for these motherfuckers to come around to like, that was a good joke. You know, like oh, I think I said it when I said, you know, this guy's the Steph Curry of so-and-so, but all right, let's go through your thing. That happened with the sketch that it was about the racist Oscars. It was an Oscar award for whoever played the best racist that year. Because the white actors that play those roles is such a thankless thing, right? Because we're like, yeah, you did a great job, Leonardo DiCaprio, you son of a bitch. Fuck
right,
you.
Right.
Like, you know, and I pitched this and I almost didn't pitch it, number one, because I was just like, ah, they're not gonna use it. But my fellow writer's like, you gotta pitch it. I pitch it. The fucking the person that chops up footage for this stuff for our like rehearsal practice version of the joke.
Right.
He comes to me. He's like, this is good. It's really funny. We can't show it to any of the top people yet. We need to cut together like a fake version of the joke. We need to have we have to have everything right. Then we have to present it to them at a time when they need a thing. So even though I came up with this idea and I was like, you know what the perfect time would be is when the Oscars weekend is coming up. And they're like, okay, that's 2 weeks away. We're not going to pitch it until like Monday of the week before. So they don't have time to think themselves out of it.
Okay.
And so we pitch it where they have like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days to think about it. The meetings we had in those 5 days, y'all, some of these meetings were so unnecessary. At one point they were like, we like the idea, but what if it was like racist animal sports movies? I was like, for that to be funny, the first sketch would have had to happen.
Right.
So the audience knows we're doing a spoof of what the fuck is happening right now. And I was so frustrated, but I just didn't let anyone know. I was just like, I'm gonna have to wait for you guys to come around to the first idea was really funny. And we did it and everyone punched it up and it was great. And after our show was even canceled, that's when that story about the Blind Side came out.
Right.
And with the two, he's taking advantage of. Well, we got to rerun the sketch through all the social media. It was going viral again because that's who won the Oscar for most racist movie was The Blind Side. So
holy
everybody
shit.
Was like, oh, you guys called it. And I was like, that's why you don't change the sketch. It was so good.
Wow.
Anyway, love that stuff. I do worry about Mike's family being attached to Pete Davidson acting right. That I'm glad you asked, Keith. You know, I know there's nothing he can do. I just wanted to know he's in our thoughts because every time I read an article, I'm like, oh, fuck Mike. Like, which is sad because I'm not even thinking about Pete. He seems like a cool guy. But I was like, oh, fuck Mike, man. What's Mike going to do? Oh, he wasn't hurt in the crash? Okay, all right. He's going to be live. let's see. Marvel's becoming work for people. Quit. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. You don't got to work at a job. You don't got to. Y'all pay for this. Quit. Fuck them. It's all right. They got plenty of money and plenty of people that's going to still watch the shit. Trust. You'll be okay. The audience is going to watch it. It's fine.
But how do you say no to anything? Like, you know, we disagreed, but I hated Loki, but am I going to miss a 5-minute reference in an upcoming movie? Ugh.
Just quit all the way. Don't even come back.
Don't have fun. That's the option then. Really? Yes. Don't have fun. It's like, no, I still like fucking you. I'm just saying I don't like this.
I'm just, once it becomes work, I don't know, man. I'm not here for work. I still like shit. Like, sometimes our audience will write in and be like, can you guys review such and such? And I have to tell them, like, no. And it's like, because you're not going to watch it. I'm like, no, I don't want to work. If I watch it, I want to watch it. Like, it's harder to watch some shit and be like, let me take a note. And here's a joke, you know? So if if it's really becoming work for people, I think they should hop off, man. Fuck these people. You can always come back.
Also, I wouldn't want you to judge my thing if that's how you're.
Right.
I wouldn't
imagine
want
a fan. I love Keith and Girl. It's worstly work for me. I'm like, well, fuck you. Fuck you, man. Don't watch it then. Don't listen. And lastly, you guys may have done the greatest Target ad for the end of the show I've ever
heard. It helps anxiety, it seems.
Holy shit.
They need to take that clip and put that shit on TV because y'all fucking. I mean, it was like, well, don't go to this place. Costco, are you crazy?
then there must be some sort of like campaign to calm everybody down because everyone's carrying a Target tote because there are no plastic bags anymore. We have to bring our own bags and everybody will at some point forget their bag. And Target is charging for those tote bags, what other people are charging like $1 or because they're charging 5 cents for it because you have to charge for it.
Right.
Other people, when they charge you 5 cents, they give you like that flimsy, Keith attaché case version. But Target is sprinkling themselves because they're like, fuck it. We bought a trillion of these. These cost us less than a penny each. And now everyone's walking around with Target bags.
Yeah. I don't know why for sure, but it feels like everything at Target costs like 14 cents more than the other places. But something about that 14 cents makes it a much better experience. And it really doesn't seem like it should. Like a Walmart and Target shouldn't feel so different down here. But Walmart feels like danger down here. We're like, man, I fucked up. I got to go to Walmart. That's how bad I fucked up today. I hope I don't get killed in the parking lot. And then Target is right up the street. Same people could have driven there. And you're like, I'm going to dance through the aisles. I might do a TikTok video live. Who gives a fuck? This is beautiful. I love this place.
Crazy. You think Mike is onto something or it's that one of them he's sells guns and the other one doesn't?
He's onto something, yeah.
Okay.
and probably that too. Okay, y'all are both onto something.
A lot of things could exist at once.
Yeah. Once you sell guns, you kind of invite an element in that. It doesn't give a fuck about the decor, if you know what I mean. What was the poll?
Were you adopted? Mm. And on the forums, nobody was adopted. On Reddit, one person was adopted. Is it our job to tell them or? Okay, there you go.
Mm. Yeah, adoption's weird because what if you just don't know?
Yeah, a lot of people don't seem to know, but I do.
Mm-hmm. You can tell.
Yeah,
by looking.
I could tell sometimes. Yeah, I can tell.
You think Logan would be like no on the poll?
He would write no. Yeah.
Yeah. 100% of people not adopted. yeah.
Maybe it's something maybe you don't say I was adopted. You say adoption happened to you. But that doesn't sound like, I don't know.
I feel like people know.
Maybe I was gifted to someone.
You're right. Were you gifted? Perhaps. Yes, no.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I think is happening, guys. Okay.
Why do I feed that monster?
Were you gifted extra than I was with?
Oh, good. It took hold.
From my mom's vagina.
Here's what I think is happening, guys. I think Republicans are lying. Okay. They keep saying, we'll force you to have babies. We're going to adopt all of them. We don't know any fucking adopted people. What's happening? Someone's lying.
What people go, oh, right. You care so much. Why don't you adopt somebody? It's like, I don't even know where to find them. Apparently, no one went through this process.
Is that at Target? What do you do? What do you do? Chewing a Task Rabbit. First of all, love to hear news is alive, always.
Yes.
It scares us when he takes weeks off.
Yeah.
Don't do that. well, if he takes a week off, but he posts proof of life on Reddit or Instagram, I count that as is like being marked safe from a random strange dick.
We actually insist on that, yes.
Yeah, please. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, thank God he's working on the roof. It's getting a little dicey there. But mostly I'm glad to hear the mammogram went well. That could be an ad for mammograms. Love to hear that. I heard the anxiety in your voice when you were talking with Catherine Heller, and she was trying to like calm you down and walk you through, and you're just like, no, let me have this. Let me have this. This is what I have in my head. This is what I need to be at this level when I walk in. And I think sometimes when you do that, it's like a pleasant, it's even more of a pleasant surprise that it's not as bad as it was in your head.
Maybe. I mean, afterwards, actually, she, I guess, insisted and just told me exactly how it's going to go. Oh, so,
okay.
So I ended up hearing it anyway. And yeah, the technician was just.
Was it close to what Catherine said, though? Was it like, was she accurate in her description?
Yes. Yeah. It is very, very vulnerable. But I feel like that being said, if the person who's doing it to you knows that, then it's just uncomfortable. And I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even know what the bedside manner is supposed to be in that situation. Like, if I had to take a quiz, I wouldn't get it.
I was there. I still don't know. I'm not sure that I can give that to someone at that level. Like, she was so good. I'm like, how are you doing this? And I don't know how to compliment you about this, because that can't be how you make this less awkward.
You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. You're listen, the way you wrangled these titties, girl.
You know, I did that. But I ended up saying, I was like, you know what? I was really nervous about this, and I don't know how I could have had a better experience. And thank you for giving that to me.
And like, the doctor handed a iPad. It was like a 10%, 15%, 20%, 25%. I'll look the other way.
If she had one of those, she would have gotten some. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Someone on the forums is like, everyone knows the right amount to tip per titty. Come on. Right. You know, it's 5% per cup.
Now I'm thinking, like, how much would I have tipped? And I'm like, well, do I go percentage? Wait, what? Do I just go copay for copay? I don't know. Fuck.
Well, doctors can be so fucked up. This is a long time ago. But Kendall was getting her downstairs checked. And what did the doctor say about to try to relate it to a boyfriend? Do you remember this?
Well, that was the first time I ever went.
Oh, whatever.
And, oh, yeah. And I was, yeah.
Just give me some trauma, please.
She said,
I'd like to carry this trauma with me and this memory for the rest of my fucking life, because this will not be the last time I have to get in a chair like this. So thanks, doc.
But you know what? It did. It was terrible.
It's terrible.
The doctor said, "Why is this bad? You like it when your boyfriend does it." Something like that, right?
No, open your legs like you would for your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because he already asked if I was sexually active.
Right.
And I'm just trying to be honest. So yeah, but what I really learned from that is and I no longer it's always gross, but I only go to female doctors.
Yeah.
I go to nurse practitioners. They have a different feel to them. And I never had a bad situation.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
But that's why we needed Yelp back then, you know?
Right.
It's like, can we Yelp doctors? One star. This motherfucker's weird and creepy.
Yeah. And then he just puts on his office door a big star.
Yeah.
It's like, right. No, motherfucker, shit.
Wait, you're only friendly to Jews? What kind of place is this? All right. Last week on Keith and the Girl, Karen did a great job.
Yes.
Okay. We were all there for it. Studio audience was apparently big fans, and we love to see it. And that's it. I don't have anything else extra. This one hopefully will make Sean a little happier. Okay. We kept it shorter than normal, Sean. So I haven't forgot about you, buddy. But why don't you write in when it is right, Sean? Okay. Don't just let us know when it's fucked up. Where are the weeks where you leave a comment and you're like, damn, good job, Rod and Karen. You really got to the meat of some shit, man. You got some jokes in there I didn't see coming. I'd love to some appreciation, Sean. All right, that's it. See you next week. Peace.